This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition, February 19th, of Invest Talk. And Invest Talk is heard on radio in California. You can listen to us live. We're live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, or streaming anywhere on investtalk.com. And, of course, we do really love our podcast listeners, and you can get that through subscribing to iTunes and other places. So how are we here? We want to welcome you, and I say we because today we have with us Justin Klein.
Great to be here, Steve.
Well, I was gone for a couple of days, so you had to handle it for you.
I did. Hopefully I handled it successfully.
Actually, I listened to you a little bit yesterday when I was driving from point A to point B around the 4 o'clock hour, almost 5.
Around the Bay Area?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we talk about money here. Managing money from time to time can, you know, it's difficult. It's a hard process. I know people think it isn't sometimes because the market goes up and they think you can just get in and ride it up. Well, I wish it was that easy. It's just not. We also, besides talking about managing retirement accounts and those kinds of things, we talk about insurance, reverse mortgages, how to fund the college, you know, education for the kids or grandkids. So we talk about all those things besides just stocks and the stock market. When we talk about the stock market, really including all the world markets, if you think about it, it's a term for stock exchanges around the world. And of course, here in the United States, it's the New York Stock Exchange, the American Stock Exchange, and the NASDAQ Stock Exchange. But in the United Kingdom, it's the London Stock Exchange. In Germany, it's the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. So the market. Generally, we talk about stocks traded on our indexes here in the United States. I mean, that's 99/10 of what we want to talk about because we can get that information quickly and we can answer your questions. But, of course, a stock market is simply a convenient place a person can invest and trade stocks, stock exchange stocks, exchange cash for stocks for stocks, exchange. That's what the exchange is all
about. Love you always wonder how does the stock go up and down? It's funny when people ask me that, but a lot of people don't understand that. How does the stock go up and down?
It's very simple.
Supply and demand.
Yeah. If you own 100 shares of Apple computer and you want to sell it, you can ask whatever price you want, can't you? But will someone else buy it for the price you want? And that's how it works. That's as simple as that. Now, there's all kinds of things going on, you know, electronic trading and fast-moving prices. There's all kinds of things going on, but that's the nuts and bolts of the stock exchange. Now, we often get questions about the best places to learn how the market works and how to invest, and we always recommend books. Of course, you can get newsletters, you can listen to shows like us, you can go to conferences, you can do all those things, and you should if you have an interest. But a book is really a good, solid way to learn more and more and more. And, of course, we have a book list on our website. You can go there on investtalk.com and check it out. Just click on the Invest Talk tab at the top of the page. It's not hard. Now it's time for our Q&A. Bring your questions or opinions to us at 888-99-CHART. Let's take the question from our 24-hour listener line.
Yes, this is Kenny. I'm calling from San Diego. And my dad has asked me to manage his IRA. And it's about $120,000 in value. It's not his only source of income. In fact, he's not really drawing from it except the minimum withdrawal. So I'm asking what you would recommend in terms of how to invest that money. If you would invest it with stocks, and I think that's kind of $100,000 is what you ask for. I would be interested in, what sectors, I guess, you would look at in terms right now in terms of investing in stocks. And probably give you guys a call about managing this account as well as some of the others that you manage for me. So thank you very much, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
That's a very good question. You know, I even talked to someone just yesterday about this very same thing. They were managing their mother's money, some of their mother's money, and this guy's managing some of his father's money. And the first thing I asked is, Well, is it, are you manage it for them or manage it for whoever inherits the money?
Yeah. Because he's saying he doesn't really need the money. He's just taking out the required minimum distribution.
That's right.
Like.
So if you don't need the money, that's a different situation than, oh, he needs it, he needs to protect it.
Yeah, where is that money going to? And when he, whoever inherits it gets that stepped up value, right, of that account.
That's right.
So if you're investing it for that next person, then you really want to rely on capital appreciation because you're not really going to pay taxes on that, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to have that stepped up value when it gets inherited. So you have to look at it differently than, I think, a normal retiree who might be trying to live off that money.
Yeah, so if he needs it someday down the road, and it's like 2 years down the road and needs to start drawing on it to live on, well, it would be much less risky. You'd take much less risk. And that's what we're talking about, how much risk to take with that money. If he's not going to need it, and it's for a long-term investment for, you know, when he passes it down to the next generation, then you take more risk. But what sectors to be in, what stocks to buy, we can't just recommend on the air those kinds of things. You know, we can answer questions, but we can't say, well, buy this or buy that.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a client. So, you know, give us a call and we'll guide you through it.
Yeah, we can answer those questions on a personal basis, but not over the air. Mm-hmm. Okay, these misunderstandings that can lead you down the wrong path, headed toward an insecure retirement without adequate funds. 7 things people get wrong about retirement. And that's going to be one of our talking points today. I have numerous others. I got so much that I don't know if we'll ever get to them. How about, you know what the foreign ownership and the U.S. debt is? You know how much it is? Who owns it? I know people say, well, I know China owns a lot. Do they own the most? Is there other countries that own more? And why? Why do they own it? I want to talk about that. And I also want to talk about data. For February, we've gotten a lot of data points come out. And there's, I mean, we're talking so far about 35 pieces of data. I'm talking about economic data points. Do you know what, are they generally good, bad? The experts always have estimates. Do you think they're right on or are they off? And I want to talk about that because...
Yeah, I touched on that a little bit yesterday. I talked about you? There's a lot of misses in the data. In the economic data that's been coming out over the past month.
Yeah. Doesn't mean we're going into recession, everybody. It just means misses. Maybe they're missing up. Are they missing high or they're missing low?
Well, that's typical for analysts. You know, they typically are optimistic, and over time they change. Their optimism changes.
Also, we're going to talk about college graduates with these degrees earn more money. What degrees are better degrees to have, and what degrees are not so good to have? And is it better to have a college degree? Do you make more money? Is there those kinds of things? I think we should discuss.
Do they
that.
Have art history on there?
No, not art history is not on
there. Those are always the ones that are most interesting to me. People have an art history degree. It's like, what are you going to do with that? Work for a museum? That's pretty much about it. That's about it.
Yep. Anyways, those are the talking points we're going to discuss for you. What do you want to discuss, though? I mean, we would like to talk about these things. Justin has a few of those things that he didn't get to yesterday or the day before we might get to. But it's up to you. What direction do you want to take the show? It's your show. Give us a call. The market today was mixed. The Dow was down 43. The S&P was down 2. And the NASDAQ was up 18. And if you've been paying attention, and I mentioned this last week, it is extremely clear that there's market is taking, different parts of the market taking different directions. The NASDAQ is doing much better than the broader market. Why? Why is that? Has anybody come to a conclusion? I gave you my opinion why that happened last week. Do you have an opinion? I'd like to hear it. Fixed income offers a lot of value points that equities do not. One major characteristic, we're talking about fixed income offers, you know, a fixed income equity. Major characteristic is that it's less risky, usually, than equities. I say usually because that's not always the case, but usually is. So managing a bond portfolio is one of my info sheets that can clear things up a little bit. When you're in InvestTalk Insider, you have access to a bunch of these info sheets, and this one is talking about bonds. So you can sign up for free at InvestTalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So here are some retirement myths that we want to share with you. Number one, it's okay to postpone saving for retirement until other needs are taken care of. Whoever thought that that was smart? It's never okay to postpone it. I don't care how much money you make and how much money you spend. You can always save some money and through a 401k, an IRA. It's not rocket science.
And the sooner, the better. And I think one of the biggest problems that most people have that mentality is that they don't get in the habit. And that's the most important thing. That's one of the reasons why a 401k is such a great vehicle, is that it forces people into the habit of saving, as opposed to having to write out a check, you know, once a month or every other, you know, every year or whatever. It happens every paycheck. And most people, that's what's needed for them to really save enough to get to where they want to be.
And here's something I've talked about off and on over the years. Everybody thinks Medicare, once you reach a certain age, you get Medicare and it's going to pay for everything. Wrong. It does not. There has been study after study. After you're age 65, you're going to need about $250,000 before you die for money to pay for health care costs between 65 and death.
Yeah, that's for a couple.
So you need $250,000 just for that. Mm-hmm. And on top of Medicare.
And on top of your regular expenses that you're going to need just to live.
Yep. So got to be prepared. And another one is you need less income when you retire than you do when you're working. Not true.
It could be true, but...
Could be if you move from like Orange County or San Jose to Missoula, Montana. That's a lot cheaper.
Or maybe if you just pay off your mortgage, right? Well, by the time you retire, which we always help our clients and our listeners to do. But some people want to travel. Some people love traveling and want to travel around the world. You think you're going to spend less traveling all over the world than you did when you were working? Probably not.
Yeah. And Social Security, you can take it early and get full benefits. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. Full benefits today is 66, 67 years old. That, you know, depending on when you were born. You should rely heavily on bonds rather than stocks. That's been proven not to be a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, bonds are less risky, but many people need to keep growing their money in retirement.
Yeah, and they're, I think having some equity exposure is important, and it's a good diversifier as well. You know, if interest rates rise dramatically and you have all bonds, that could really hit your portfolio. In a rising interest rate environment, usually stocks are doing better, and you need to have that good diversifier.
Yeah, and I don't know if we'll be able to get to all of them, but don't rely on those target-dated funds. Those target-dated funds, those set-it-and-forget-it type funds, not a good idea.
Not a good idea, because they vary widely from how they're allocated their capital. It's not as straightforward and simple as they seem.
Yeah, I just don't care for them myself. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. We're along here with Justin Klein. We're here to talk to you. 888-99-CHARGE is how you can reach us. You can reach us right now for any money topic that's on your mind. I'm ready for your call. So let's talk. We're going to talk to Michael in San Francisco next, and then possibly you.
If you'd like to see more about KPP Financial Select Portfolios, like our Balanced Income Portfolio, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com.
Chart, Justin and I are having a heated conversation about Greece. We both think EU should just kick them out.
Was it heated?
Well, yeah. Warmish.
Lively.
Lively. Okay. Lively. Warmish. Michael, San Francisco. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a question about taxes in a 401k or IRA account.
Sure.
I have a brokerage account and IRA account. And am I correct by thinking that if I do like a short-term trade, it's best to do it in the IRA account because you avoid the capital gains tax this year?
Yes. If you are a trader, if you like trade a lot, it's always smarter to do it in your IRA accounts because you never have capital gains tax. You never have to worry about that.
Then the flip side is, if you have losses, you can't write them off.
That's
either.
True. So make sure you're a successful trader.
Exactly.
Yes, but yes.
Okay, that's a good point. That's what I was wondering. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, that was easy. Get those kind of questions, I can do those in my sleep.
There you go.
Let's go to James in New York. Way in. Thanks for listening to us, James. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good evening. How are you tonight?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Good. Listen, so as per your advice, I'm looking into some more small and mid-cap stocks for my portfolio. And I've been doing a little bit of homework. And I like this symbol, TWI, the stock TWI. Looks like it might be a nice fit for to diversify my portfolio a bit.
What brought you to this name, and why do you like it?
It looks like it might be a little bit low, like at this time. Like, it's not on its higher strength. Earnings look pretty good. I thought maybe I would give it a shot. It's fairly cheap. It's affordable. Okay. And I thought it might be a good fit.
Well, when you say it's affordable and it's cheap, what makes you say that? Because it's trading at $9.67?
Well, I'm not sure what the high is. But,
it's been as high as $31 in 2011, $27 in 2013. That's its high.
Right.
You know, $37 in 2008. So those were the highs it's been at.
Yeah.
The low is three. Three.
It's losing, but can it come back is my angle on it. Maybe
okay.
It could come back.
Well, first of all,
grow.
Yeah. First of all, James, James referred to what I've said before. I said, and I've been saying for a little while, that it might be mid cap and small caps turn this year, because big caps have been very, been in the news and been very strong the last few years, and I'm concerned about overseas earnings with the dollar being so strong for those big international companies. I'm concerned about earnings. And it's always about earnings, James, and it's about earnings for this company, too.
Yeah, this is Titan International. They manufacture off-highway wheels, tires, and assembly products for agriculture, earth-moving, construction, and consumer markets. So they this is an auto and truck industry. They make parts for that industry.
TWI.
And they traded about $9.67. There's no P/E ratio because they lost money in 2014. This year, they're supposed to make 2 cents a share. Revenues are falling about 10% year over year. Last quarter, they lost 17 cents a share. Debt, 72% debt to equity, which is not crazy high, but it's not low either. Small dividend. Return equity, 7%. That's not very high. I don't like this name. There's not much I could see that's positive about the name. The chart is poor. It doesn't seem to be gaining much strength at all, just kind of consolidating out here in the high single digits, low $10 range.
So James,
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't really care for it either, because, James, there's no really catalyst for it to go back to those old highs it had before. But when those old highs, they were making a dollar plus a share.
Yeah, and they're all over the place with earnings. You know, 2008, they made $1.09. 2009, they lost 37 cents. Then it went all the way up to $1.80 in earnings in 2012. And now we're back down into lost territory when the market's making new highs. So why is that? I don't like companies that have such a choppy earnings history. And it's hard to see a company with much choppier of an earnings history than this one. So I don't like it.
So, James, I probably would try to find something else stronger.
Yep.
Something else stronger.
Yes, I'll definitely continue my search then.
Okay.
I'll keep looking around.
Thanks, James. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening.
Good night. Thanks.
Night. TWI, Titan International is the name of the company. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So how much foreign ownership of our debt is there? How much total? Well, it's $6.15 trillion in 2014.
And we have about, what, 18 trillion outstanding? 19
total?
Total,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is foreign ownership, Doug.
So about a third, I would say.
Yeah, and it was up from 5.7. Now, why? Our debt is very attractive to the rest of the world. And one of the reasons why, when people talk to me and say, well, why does everybody want to buy U.S. Treasuries? They're only paying, what, 1.77% now? Well, you know, a 10-year treasury in Germany pays 0.34% per year.
Yeah, and there's certain countries that have negative. But you have to pay to the for the privilege to lend them money.
Yeah, so ours look very attractive.
Yeah.
And therefore, our dollar's gone very strong. And just so you know, China cut their participation in our debt, $1.2 trillion or so. But Japan is right next to them, about $1.2 trillion. Those are the two by far.
Cutting their exposure?
Cutting our exposure a little bit to our dollar. Those two are the two highest holders of our debt, those two countries, China and Japan. Coming up next, half hour, should you be trading stocks? We have a little test for you. Let's Talk 101 coming up on the next segment. You probably have your own money questions. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. If you have an idea for a talking point that you'd like to know more about, get in touch. Write us a note. Just go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin, and make your suggestion. It's called a smart beta strategy. And what it means and how well it works is the question. Fund managers are warned about exotic ETFs. That's our talking point next time. Be sure to join us then on Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Karam in San Jose. How you doing, Karam?
Yeah, fine.
Thanks for calling.
I have a question about... Hi. Like your show.
Thank you.
And I have a question about an oil, as it has fallen a lot. So is it a good time to buy? There's so many ETFs. Which one do you recommend? If so, what do you think about USO?
Okay, I cannot recommend ETF or oil stock over the air. I can answer questions about stocks.
Yeah, well, USO, not USO. And I've had people call me about this, and the UNG and USO, all these ETFs that follow a particular commodity, they have problems with them. They use futures contracts, and there's a lot of costs involved, and they're good trading vehicles, but they're not what you want to invest long term. If you want to invest in oil, you need to invest in an ETF or an individual company that pays a dividend. The oil industry is notorious. It's one of the biggest dividend-paying industries in the marketplace. And this is a time where these companies are cheap. So you want to buy companies with a dividend. USO does not pay a dividend. Find big companies that pay a dividend.
Yeah, we don't, you know, in our conference we had 2 weeks ago, we talked about what sectors to be in the oil industry. Mm-hmm. And you asked a question, is it a good time to buy oil? I think it is, even though oil could go down further. I'm not saying it couldn't. But it feels like it wants to hang around $50 a barrel, somewhere in there. And it's been there for several weeks now. Now the question is, and it bounced off a low, I think, there's a low to 45, Justin?
I think. 43 and change,
okay.
I think, is the low.
And it bounced back up to 50, and it's kind of hanging there. So this might be a good time to stock up on some big oil companies if you don't have any in your portfolio, big blue chip type oil companies.
And Karam, what I would recommend is to sign up for our next conference, our webinar. We're going to have a webinar coming up in about a month, latter part of March. It's going to be free. We'll be talking about it coming up very soon to sign up, and that you'll get a lot more information on the whole sector, and you'll probably get some good ideas.
It's going to be all about oil.
All about oil.
Karam, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, sign up. You're going to go. I don't know if we got the sign-up sheet yet, but it's going to be on investtalk.com.
Yeah, it's not there yet, but it'll be up.
Yeah, we'll announce it. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good. How you doing, Steve? Justin?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to ask you about Under Armour, because I like it, but I don't really like it at this price yet.
Yeah.
I'm thinking in the, maybe upper 60s.
Under Armour is a really good company, growing very fast. Markets athletic shirts, shorts, underwear, all kinds of stuff for athletics, okay? Mostly in wearable stuff, okay? They're growing their sales 30% a quarter, and they've been pretty consistent about it for the last couple of years. And they're growing their sales 16% this year, and then another...
Earnings,
16% this year and 30% next year. It's a really strong company.
But the P ratio is 78, extremely high, very modest amount of debt, no dividend. Management owns 19%, which is great. But I think it is definitely overvalued. It depends on your time horizon. You know, if you're looking for this as a trade, you know, I think it could continue higher. But from a long-term value perspective, it's extremely overvalued. And you're saying kind of in the high 60s, that's not even close to where it needs to be for me to be a good value. It needs to be probably about half of where it is right now, in the high 30s, low 40s. Then I would say, okay, that's a good value, but not at these levels.
And Art, it very well may not go to half unless we go into recession.
Yeah.
It won't.
Right.
You know, it's because it's a really strong.
Actually, I was looking at it for a probably like a swing trade type of a thing, but
as a swing trade it could be good.
Yeah.
But you know, like Steve said, if we'd have to go into recession for it to go, you know, I think down dramatically, but you know, that's entirely possible. In 2008, it went from about $18 a share down to $3 and change. So, you know, I could see a dramatic move like that if all of a sudden that 30% growth turns into negative growth because of recession, you're going to see the stock go down dramatically. So it's a very high-risk name. But as a swing trade, you know, it could still work because the momentum's still strong.
Yeah, still strong right now.
Yeah.
Good luck with it, Art.
Okay.
Hope it works for you.
All right, thanks a lot.
UA is a symbol, everybody. Under Armour, very good brand.
Yeah, and for everyone else, a swing trade is just something short-term. Maybe not a day. It's not a day trade. Something a week, a month. That's a swing trade. And usually, you know, valuations don't really matter when you're doing a swing trade or a day trade. You're caring more about the chart, and the chart's still strong.
Trend.
Yeah,
caring
about the chart.
Looking for a trend. Be sure to take advantage of our free risk analysis tool. It's in about 5 minutes or less. Usually it's less, a couple minutes. It will determine your level of risk tolerance, your personal level of how much risk you want to take. And it's just a few questions. And if you're just curious, it'd be fun to take. You could do it. Go to our investtalk.com. You'll see it there. Investtalk.com. That's with two T's. It's the blue box. Free risk analysis tool.
InvestTalk is brought to you every day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And if you'd like to see more about KPP Financial select portfolios, like our select growth and income programs, just click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-SHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, is a college degree worth it? Is it worth it?
My cousin is going to college. She's 18. She's a senior, and she's applying to all these colleges. It is absurd how much it costs to go to college now. I mean, I thought it was expensive for me. I remember when I went to a private university, Chapman University here in Orange County. I think my first year, it was about $18,000-$19,000 for tuition. By my senior year, it was at about in the high 20s. In 4 years, it almost, you know, it was up almost 50%. And now these universities are $45,000, $50,000. Some are $65,000 a year.
But the question, is it worth it?
I mean,
is it worth it? Just to give you some examples, the unemployment rate, now this only goes up to 2012, so I don't have more recent data. But I'll tell you this, it says if you have a college degree, you have a much higher possibility of having a job. Unemployment rate for college-educated people is much less than the average, and much less than just high school. So, I mean, high school...
2.5% unemployment rate for college graduates?
Yeah. You're talking about college graduates, maybe 7.5% versus back in 2012.
Yeah.
Versus anywhere from 11 to 17% for high school graduates. And there's also the more important question is what kind of degree you have. Now, the people who have these degrees are the ones who have, or the unemployment rate is the lowest. In other words, they find jobs. Mm-hmm. And these are the degrees are for life sciences, computers, statistics, mathematics, education, engineering, and health. Between 2.6 and 3.5% unemployment rate.
Yeah, versus the average then, which was what, you said 7%?
7%. The worst ones. Architecture, 10.3%. Communication journalism, 8.2%. These are unemployment rates. Social sciences, 10.1%. Psychology and social work, 9%. Law and public policy, 8.6%. Humanities and liberal arts, 8.4%. Don't get degrees in those. You have a chance of being more unemployed than the average.
Does it have art science? Or art history, sorry?
No art history. That's no art history? Probably in the humanities.
Humanities?
Liberal arts.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where that is, and that's high. So just, if you have children or grandchildren, yeah, tell them to get a better...
What was degree. Communications? Wasn't that up there? I always joke about that one, too.
Don't get communication. That's 8.2.
Yeah.
You want life sciences, computers, statistics, mathematics, education, engineering, and health.
Science and mathematics. If you want a good job, a good paying job, make sure that you're not going to be unemployed very often. Get a degree in something involving science and mathematics.
And I would throw in health in there.
Well, that's science, isn't it?
No.
No, you don't think so?
It separates it out.
Okay.
InvestTalk is a two-way conversation, but if you have a question between programs, which a lot of you do, you can still ask, and we'll answer it on the next InvestTalk. And matter of fact, I printed a question on that someone sent me today, and I forgot to bring it to the office.
So
here,
it's sitting on your desk.
It's on my desk, and I apologize.
Well, maybe tomorrow you'll get it.
Maybe I'll tomorrow. 888-99-CHARTER is our number.
Hello, my name is John. I'm from Mission Viejo, and I listen to you on the podcast, and I really enjoy it. And my question is, what do you think about IBM? What's a good time to sell? What's a good time to buy it? And well, what is your current value? Thank you. Bye.
Now, IBM took it on the chin just recently, and not too long ago, a couple months ago, and because it was selling for, $195 or so? It dropped down to got all the way down to 151 just a month or so ago. That's a double bottom, and it's coming off that double bottom.
Yeah, pretty nicely. IBM is cheap on a P/E ratio basis, on a cash flow basis, which I like. The biggest issue with IBM is their sales are now falling 12% year over year. So, it depends on your time horizon. If IBM is a long-term play. I think they will turn themselves around. I think it's cheap. But, you might get a lot of choppiness for the next, year or two.
Now, don't be confused. It's $163, and we're saying it's cheap. It's cheap in relationship to its earnings. It's going to make $16.81 next year. Mm-hmm. That's a 10 P.E.
Yeah.
Or a little bit less than that. So that is what we mean by cheap. And IBM has always been able to turn itself around when it has hit road bumps.
Mm-hmm.
So, long term, as Justin said, I kind of like it.
And they have that partnership with Apple, and
they're
having a lot of competition with in the cloud computing space, and that's hurting them. But they do have some offerings, and they're working themselves to turn around. It's such a large. Remember, these are large businesses, huge business, $162 billion market cap, do $24 billion a quarter. $100 billion in sales a year.
Maybe five.
And so it's difficult to move that type of organization in an industry that's so, it's technology, so rapidly.
Maybe if Europe turns around, because they have a lot of overseas sales, maybe that would help them.
Yeah.
And they will eventually. I just don't know when.
Yeah, so it depends on your time horizon. If you're looking for, a great trade in the short term, probably not where you want to be, but a long-term hold with a good dividend, good stock.
2.7% dividend, by the way. U.S. macro collapses to 11-month lows. 88% of data has missed in February. And what this article was talking about is, how every week there comes out, economic data comes out every week. Some weeks a ton of it, some weeks not so much. And so this article looked at specifically 33 data points up till the date this article was released in February. The article was written on 18th of February. 33 data points, 29 of which missed the expectations. The expert said it's going to be this, and they missed it. Okay? 4 of which they beat the expectations. So 29, they were way below it, and 4, they were above it. Remember, I've always said that experts are always wrong. Well, this kind of helps prove my point.
Yeah. And today we came out with a couple. The Philly Fed Manufacturing Activity Index, that was a little worse than expected, right?
A little worse than expected.
But the U.S. initial claims for unemployment was a little better than expected.
Better than expected.
So you kind of had one on each side.
So what I'm saying to you is, believe me, when these stats are missing like this, it's not telling you that we're heading into a recession. It's not saying that. These misses are what the experts expect. So the experts may say, oh, I think we're going to grow 5% in this one area, and it comes in at 4%, but it's still growth of 4%. It's not necessarily going into a recession or down.
And this is how analysts notoriously are. Like I said before, they're notoriously optimistic the farther out they're looking. The farther out they're seeing the economy or a particular company's earnings or whatever, they're more optimistic. And as we get closer, especially since the beginning of the financial crisis, as we get closer to that time frame, they tend to downgrade their expectations.
Yeah, and you can see it really obviously in earnings estimates.
Yeah, you go out a couple quarters, they expect earnings growth to be 10% or more. And then all of a sudden you get closer to that quarter and they start slowly downgrading their earnings expectation. And then all of a sudden, by the time earnings season hits, that growth is only expected to be 2, 3, 4%.
And many times they downgrade it so much that they do it on purpose. I can't say that. And then they beat the expectations. But if you go back to the beginning of the quarter, they didn't beat the expectations from the beginning of the quarter. They beat the expectations which you just downgraded last week. So it's really tough. Okay, it's really difficult to believe the experts.
Yeah, to follow these analysts.
You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm portfolio manager Steve Pisa with Justin Klein today. Our money management firm is KPP Financial. We offer a number of different programs specifically in the mutual fund program. We have a stock program. We have an income program. Different risk tolerances types of programs. How much risk you want to take, we have a program for you. So you can find out more by going to our website on investtalk.com and look for the investing tab.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
Chart 888-992-4278. We would love to talk to you. This is Steve Peasley along with Justin Klein here on Invest Talk. Time for Invest Talk 101. Should you be picking your own stocks? Okay, do you understand what drives stock prices? To start there. Do you understand? That's really the heart of the matter. What drives stock prices up? And if you don't know, then you really shouldn't be buying and selling stocks. The answer is very basic. It's all about earnings per share. How much money this company makes per share. And when you people tell me, well, what about this stock company? And it makes no money and you want to buy it, that kind of tells me you shouldn't be picking your own stocks. So what kind of return, even if they have an earnings per share, how much money should you pay for a stock based on how much money it makes per share? Now, there was a question that Josh and Keenan of AboutMoney.com came up with. And it's very, very basic. And here it is. If a company earns $1 per share, $1, there's no dilution expected, meaning they're not going to issue more shares and dilute that dollar. Just going to issue $1. They're going to make $1 per share. And a company's growing 3% annually and is expected to do so forever. And that's keeping pace with inflation, basically, because the average inflation is 3%. And the 30-year Treasury is yielding 5%.
Which it's not now.
Which is, no, it's 1.5. It's pretty low. How much money should you pay for the stock? How much money should you pay for that stock? And you're probably, if you're scratching your head and say, well, why is even bringing up what the yield is on the 30-year Treasury? Why am I bringing that up? Think about the risk of a stock versus the risklessness of a 30-year treasury. No risk. I'm going to get no risk at 5% in this scenario I gave you. And how much I'm going to get 3% growth, but with an inflation rate of 3% on the stock? So how much should you pay per share for that stock? Should you pay $10 for the stock? $5? $100? And if you don't, I'm not going to go through all the math, but if you don't have a common sense, a way to come up to a value of that stock based on that scenario, you should not be picking your own stock.
Yeah, and if you don't understand, okay, if they grow 5% versus 3%, how does that change how much I should pay for the stock? And then if the treasury, 3-year treasury goes from 5 to 3% like it is now, how does that change? At least you get to know the direction of what you should pay for that stock. Should you pay more or should you pay less? If you can't figure that out, you probably shouldn't be doing it yourself.
Yeah, so make sure you understand these things before you start picking your own stocks, because you're really going to shoot yourself in the foot. You might get lucky for a while, but it won't stay. Let's go try and answer another listener line question. 888-99-CHART is our 24-hour listener line number. Here's a call that came in earlier.
Yeah, hi, my name's Ed from San Bruno. I'm wondering about ETP. I bought about 400 shares. I wanted to reinvest some more in that. Thanks.
ETP is an Energy Transfer Partners, a master limited partnership engaged in gathering, treatment, processing, transportation, storage, and marketing of natural gas in the United States. So that's what it does. Should you buy more of this? And a quick answer would be no.
Yeah. And
should you own this? My personal opinion, the quick answer is no.
Yeah, it's too expensive. He said he owns 400 shares. Well, that doesn't tell me a whole lot, because how much money do you have? Is that 2% of your portfolio, 20% of your portfolio? What percentage of your portfolio is it? Now, it yields 6.6%, which is nice, but this is a master limited partnership. And Steve and I talked about this before, and we'll talk about it again in the webinar coming up, of why master limited partnerships are risky. And I'll give you the quick answer in today's environment is that there's a lot of contracts that they have with oil producers. Remember, these companies move oil and natural gas. And if some of these producers go bankrupt now with low oil prices, all of a sudden, they're not going to make as much money as they have
expected. And you're not going to get that dividend.
And you're not going to get that dividend. I could cut that dividend, yeah. And they also have a lot of debt. And so can they service that debt? So there's a lot of risk right now in the master limited partnership sector. This is a relatively cheap name, but it's risky.
Before we close for the hour, our premium newsletter is coming out tomorrow morning, as it does every Friday. It gives you a quick summary of the week's markets, some portfolio management suggestions, and at least two stock suggestions in there. Try for a month. Sign up. It's less than $10 per month. It comes out every Friday. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley, along with Justin Klein. And for everybody at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.